This morning, I want to take a look at an absolutely fascinating and famous passage, which is one of those things that is depicted countless times in art. A lot of us know this passage, but there is a profound and subtle trap in this passage. Something that we see and we get wrong, and we don't even realize we've got it wrong. We don't even quite realize what's happening there. Now, I do want to just say that this is a fascinating thing. If you want to take a few minutes sometime this week and just look up the classic imagery of Jesus cleansing the temple, it's everywhere, and it's really, really interesting just how different artists have interpreted this over the years. But I want to start here with this next picture. If you'd throw that model picture up there, this is the model of the temple of how it would have looked in the time of Jesus. If you go to Israel, there's the Israel Museum there in Jerusalem, and they have this giant model. It is probably about the size of this room, maybe even bigger, of how the city of Jerusalem would have looked in the time of Jesus. And this is what the temple would have looked like. You would have seen the temple grounds. You would have seen the temple itself right in the center. And in Jesus' time, this would have been filled with people there for worship. And what happened was, this story takes place at Passover. And Passover is the biggest celebration, the biggest religious holiday of the Jewish year. It is a celebration of the people of Israel being freed from slavery in Egypt. So it's a combination of Easter, Thanksgiving, 4th of July. If you combine all those holidays into one, you get Passover. And it was a pilgrimage holiday, so people would come from all over the empire to celebrate Passover. So you'd come in from Antioch, from Alexandria in Egypt, from Rome, from Greece. And if you're coming from that far away, you can't bring livestock. Because if you got to bring an animal for sacrifice, which they did, you can't travel on a boat or by road for a couple of weeks with your livestock. So what would happen is you get there to the temple, and people would offer to sell you livestock. And since you're there at the temple, you can't use the regular Roman money because it's got a picture of pagan gods on it. So you have to use and exchange your money for proper temple money. So what would happen is you'd come, you'd spend a week or two on a boat, on a road, you get there to the temple, and then you have to buy at exorbitant rates this livestock after you've just gotten shaken down by the money changers. Now, there's things about the Chosen movie or Chosen video series that I have issues with, but there's some things that they do really well. And there's one episode in the 5th season where you see some Greeks come into the temple to try and worship, and you see them just get shaken down by these people. And it's almost like they're holding them upside down and shaking the money out of their pockets until every last denarii is taken out of there. So what starts as a convenience, what starts as a service, becomes this bit of extortion and robbery. And so these folks were crowding out and not letting others worship in this space. Now, something I want you to think about, that it starts out as a service. It starts out as something helpful, and then it becomes something that prevents worship. Now, we look at this. We look at this beautiful temple, and we think this is a beautiful temple. We think this is like a cathedral. This is like a church. This is like a congregation. This is some place where we can go and we can worship. But it's not. There's something different here. Let me show you what's different. You go to the next slide, please. This is what's known as the foundation stone. And in the temple picture that we just would have seen, it was at the very center of what was known as the Holy of Holies, a place where only the priests were allowed to go. And I want you to think about this. That second temple had been there for 500 years, give or take. It had gotten rebuilt after the Babylonian exile. They rebuilt it, And then Herod takes decades to turn it into one of the most beautiful centers of worship in the whole Roman Empire. So we're talking 5 centuries, give or take. Okay? But before that, there had been Solomon's temple for basically another 400 years. The place where God had said to Solomon, I want you to build this temple. And again, this stone, this foundation stone, is underneath the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant rests, the place where only the high priest is allowed to go. But even before that, 1,000 years before Solomon, so 2,000 years before Jesus, this is the place where God tells Abraham, I want you to go build an altar and make a sacrifice. So literally for 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus, this is the place where God says, this spot, this place, this is where I speak to my people. This is where I share who I am. This is where I show my glory. And so for in the midst of that, Jesus is seeing people crowding out the people who are trying to worship, not letting them come in because they need to pay the exorbitant prices, that they are not letting come and meet God at this sacred space. So Jesus comes in to this, and he sees everybody doing all this. If you go to that next slide, the John 2:15, please. And it says, and he makes a whip out of cords. This is the trap. This is the part we get wrong. Because we get this impression that Jesus comes in and loses his ever-loving mind and starts throwing things around. But that's not what this is. This is a deliberate action. He takes cords, probably the cords that were used for all these livestock, braids them into a whip and starts driving out all the animals and drives out all the people. And sometimes what we do is we get into this mode where we say, I want to be like Jesus, therefore I'm going to be angry and judgmental. And that's not what he's doing here. What he's doing is being deliberate and making a point. It doesn't say that he hurt anybody. It doesn't say that he whipped any human beings. It does say that he drove out all these animals. It does say that he turned over the tables, but it doesn't say that he hurt anybody, that he struck anybody, and that he took the time to make that whip. Here's the trap. We think we get to be like Jesus. We think we get to sit in anger and in judgment over people. Some of us get comfortable living in anger and judgment. Some of us get in this mode where we're like, I'm right, everybody else is wrong, and I'm going to be angry about it. And friends, for those of you that's a powerful temptation, that's not what this story is about. That's not what this story is saying. What this story is saying is that Jesus is restoring the temple as a place of worship. And I want to encourage those of you who live in that anger and judgment state of things to ask what it is in your life that's causing that, that's causing the pain, causing the judgment. Because it is a temptation for all of us to be in that mode where we just want to be angry because it's how we process stuff. We process the hurts. We process the anger. We process all of these things by lashing out at others. And if that's where you're at, ask God, what's going on in my life that I'm doing this? And a lot of us are living in reaction with that. We're living in a very angry time. I got a text message from a friend of mine, a guy I've literally known decades. And he's very much wired like me, where he does not get too high, does not get too low. Okay, kind of lives in that middle, very stable. And I got this message from him, and he was just depressed and frustrated over all the news. And it doesn't even matter what the news item was that he was reacting to, because it's something that a lot of us hit. We hit this thing, we're watching something, we watch like 10 different things in the news or social media or what have you, and you just feel burdened. And I want to speak to that for just a minute, because we tend, all of us, to fall into both of those sides. We get angry and judgmental. We get depressed and sullen. It is two sides of the human emotion. And the thing is, what Jesus is doing is he is coming here to cleanse us. John sets this story differently than Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have Jesus cleansing the temple at the end of the story. Jesus rides in on the Palm Sunday and then cleanses the temple immediately afterwards. John puts this story right up front. And it's to show that what Jesus is doing is cleansing the nation of Israel so they can worship him. And friends, that's the part I want you to understand. You don't identify with Jesus in this. You don't get to be angry. You're not the money changers. You're not the people selling livestock. You are the foundation stone. Your heart is that place of worship that Jesus wants to cleanse. That's what this story is about for us today. In a couple minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. And as you come forward, I want you to think about that. I want you to reflect on that and say, okay, as I'm coming up to receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood, what is it that I need to let go of? What is the anger and the judgment or the hurt and the pain that I need to let go of so that I can worship? So that I can say, yeah, I need this grace. I need this love. If you go to that next slide, the John 2:16 there, please. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying that this is not a house of trade. This is not a place of merchandising. That this should be a house of worship. And again, that temple now lives in our heart. And that brings me to this last spot. That last slide. Because Jesus says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. He's referring to himself there as that new temple where we are called to meet, not at the foundation stone, not at the Holy of Holies, not in the temple courts, but at Jesus. Because we see the Father through the Son. And this is how we worship. And friends, what Jesus is calling us to is a new life where we let go of those things that hurt us. We let go of those things that crowd out our ability to worship. And we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. So as you come forward for communion in a few minutes, ask yourself, what is it that I need to let go of? What is the pain and the sorrow, the anger, the judgment? Those things that keep me from seeing Jesus so that I can worship him in spirit and in truth. And then say, God, please cleanse me. Please take those things from me. And then offer your hands out. And whoever's up here will put that bread, the body of Christ, in your hands so that you can be free. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for gathering us here today. Thank you for cleansing us. Bring us to that new life and help us to see with clarity what are those things that have filled up our heart, that have taken us away from you, that have given us so much consternation that we can love you, that we can see you and worship you faithfully. Amen.